Why do the gospel accounts differ? Why did Jesus use parables? Are there demon-possessed people today? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August is the big book of New Testament questions and answers. You can find out more at issuesetc.org or by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. The Big Book of New Testament Questions and Answers is written by Dr. Michael Eschelbach of Concordia University, Chicago. The Big Book of New Testament Questions and Answers. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're broadcasting from the Finding Our Voice Conference at St. Louis University on this Wednesday afternoon, August the 12th. Tim Gagelein is our guest for the next few minutes. We're going to be talking about the relationship between the public square and federal legislation. After that, Sharif Girgis joins us. We'll be talking about defending natural marriage. Tim Gagelein is a regular guest. He's Vice President for External Relations for Focus on the Family based in Washington, D.C., and he spent nearly 8 years at the White House as a special assistant to President George W. Bush. He is author of the book, The Man in the Middle. Tim, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you so much. It's great to be with you.
Are we losing the war in terms of federal legislation when it comes to marriage, family, and life, on those issues that Christians care so much about in the public square? Are we losing the federal legislation war?
Well, let's start with marriage, if we may. When the Obergefell decision came down, in perhaps the rawest exercise of judicial power since Roe against Wade, which imposed abortion upon all 50 states in one day, it's really at that level. We have never seen an exercise of judicial power like this. And to say that we're winning or losing, I think that at this point you have to say that when the Supreme Court, over against everything that Madison, as the principal architect of the Constitution, intended, when Madison's very view of limited government power was completely thwarted, and, five unelected lawyers imposed a new definition of marriage, I have to say that you can put that one in the lost column. Now, may I tell you, when Roe against Wade was decided in 1973, if you and I had been having this conversation and you had asked me a similar question about human life, I would have given you a similar answer about abortion. But here we are all these years later, and I have to say categorically, we're winning. So I think we're at the front end of a new era of conscience, a new era where we are going to have to reintroduce the basic concept of what is marriage. And I think in the long run, we're going to be successful, but we got a lot of work to do.
You are saying that the battle has just begun. With Obergefell wasn't the final shot, but perhaps among the first shots.
I think we are, if I may say, at the tip of many icebergs. And I think that marriage is one of them. But I want to be very clear in this regard. I think, to go back to your first question, yes, marriage has been redefined, but that also means that family's been redefined, and it means that parenthood is being redefined, and ultimately what it means is we are living as Lutheran Christians in America in a time of our restricted religious liberty, a time of restricted conscience rights. You know, no less than Madison, Jefferson, Hamilton, Abraham Lincoln, they all categorically said that if your conscience is not unbound, you are ultimately not free. And that's the era that we're in. It's very serious.
Now, it's been my observation, Tim, that the Supreme Court majority there, especially Anthony Kennedy, they were perfectly willing, at least at this point, to grant conscience, individual private conscience, to American citizens when it came to marriage. But they were much less willing to tread into the territory of free exercise of religion. What are your thoughts there?
That is the $64,000 question. What you have just asked is the largest historical question we are dealing with. The majority opinion written by Tony Kennedy certainly is the guidepost. But when you read the dissents, as I have, when you read the dissents of Justices Scalia, Thomas, and Alito, what you learn very quickly is that this area of the free exercise of religion, just not in the capacity of worship, but in the broader context of conscience, it's highly restricted. And this is a highly contested territory. I would argue that in public policy, as Missouri Synod Lutherans, this is absolutely the biggest issue of our time. And this is as big as the life question was in the 1970s and 80s.
So just to kind of stay on your thread of thought there for a second, 40 years from now, we are 40 plus years out from Roe v. Wade. You said we are categorically winning that. We are slowly but surely winning the hearts and the minds, and that's very important, of the American people on the issue of life.
And we are also winning in the state houses.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't want to interrupt your question,
no.
But I want to make this point because I think it's so important.
Legislatively.
We are codified in legislation. We are winning culturally. We are winning politically. Those often aren't the same things, as you know, as we all know. But we are winning categorically, culturally, and politically, yes.
So 40 years from now, when we look back, it probably won't be you or I because we'll be gone by then. But when our correspondents look back at Obergefell.
Yes.
Well, do you think that they will be able to say, well, you know, it was terrible at the time to see this happen, but it has permitted us to, in a systematic way, build laws and build into the minds of the American people what marriage and family is all about?
I do believe that. In fact, I would argue that in the five major social transformations of American history, which is the coming of the American Revolution, the abolition of slavery, extending voting rights to women, co-education of women, civil rights, the pro-life movement, none of them would have been successful or categorically without the role of the church. The church was absolutely foundational. In the American experience, Christianity and public life go together. It's not true in Europe. It's not necessarily true in massive parts of Africa and Asia, Latin America, but it is true here. And I believe, and I'm very confident, that while we are, quote unquote, losing now, I believe that we will ultimately be victorious in this. And in fact, I think we will have a renewal and a rebirth because we have to begin to ask the most basic questions again. What is marriage? What is family? What is conscience? What is religious liberty? These are things that most American Christians have had the luxury of never having to ask or answer.
We're going to be doing that in the face of a cultural tidal wave.
Yes.
A very carefully coordinated, well-funded cultural tidal wave now that has corporate America completely on board.
But may I tell you, that was absolutely true of Jim Crow in the South. That was absolutely true of abolition in England and in America. The commerce interests, the commercial interests always favored all the things that you just mentioned. I think that there is a cyclical pattern of birth, death, rebirth. And we Christians will always be there to pick up the shards and to rebuild. And I think that that's what we're going to have to do.
I want to talk to you about the release of now 6 Planned Parenthood videos that have been, with increasing clarity and to the horror of many, showing not only what happens in Planned Parenthood clinics in graphic detail, but also the kind of commerce that Planned Parenthood has been engaging in. And what I wanted to ask you about was the apparent lack of political will that was expressed by the Senate shortly after the 4th or 5th video, when they were given the opportunity to defund Planned Parenthood in a limited way, Title X money, I believe, but couldn't pull it off. What were your thoughts then?
I was disappointed, but I am hopeful because this debate is only at the beginning. Look, to do anything in the United States Senate, and I worked there for 10 years, to do anything, you have to have 60 votes. If we had, in the American experience, 51 votes or 51%, it's amazing what we could do. The American people, I think, far apart from just Lutheran Christians or the Judeo-Christian tradition, the overwhelming majority of the American people are with us on this question. You cannot watch 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 videos and be anything less than revulsed by what you're seeing.
Did we need 60 votes because of the man who sits in the White House? If there were a different man sitting in the White House, would we need those 60 votes?
The answer is you've said everything. I mean, I think we have to remember, Todd, that within our lifetime, Bill Clinton vetoed partial birth abortion twice, and he meant it. Barack Obama owns abortion. He is the abortion president. He famously prayed a blessing upon Planned Parenthood. You know, he is fully invested in Abortion Inc., which is Planned Parenthood. And I have to say that in the short term, they may, even in a Republican-dominated Congress, they may have success, but only because of the rules in the Senate. If it were a clear majority vote, they would be defunded tomorrow.
What about the House?
overwhelmingly in favoring the defunding of Planned Parenthood. If you were to ask the majority of governors in the United States, defund Planned Parenthood. If you were to ask the majority of state legislatures in America, defund Planned Parenthood. Overwhelmingly, the American people are with us on this question. Even those who favor legal abortion still say, you know, the taxpayers should not be funding it. This is a win-win for us, and culturally, we continue to press the point. The Planned Parenthood brand should be and deserves to be shredded.
Tim Gagelein is our guest. We'll have another 10 minutes with him on the other side of this break. He's Vice President for External Relations for Focus on the Family based in Washington, D.C. He spent nearly 8 years at the White House as a special assistant to President George W. Bush, and he's authored the book, The Man in the Middle. When we come back, we're going to talk about what the defunding of Planned Parenthood would actually mean. It's certainly not going to eliminate abortion, but it will be a strong statement by the American people legislatively, and perhaps even from the pen of the president, about what abortion is doing in America. We'll talk about that right after this.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. The Lutheran Church of the Good Shepherd in Greenville, South Carolina. St. Paul Lutheran, Chatfield, Minnesota. St. John Lutheran, Napoleon, Ohio. First Lutheran, Lufkin, Texas. Concordia Lutheran, Sikeston, Missouri. Hope Lutheran, Granite City, Illinois. Trinity Lutheran, Gladson, Alabama. And Lord of Life Lutheran, Chesterfield, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Bethany Lutheran College is pleased to sponsor Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio. Bethany Lutheran College is located in the picturesque river town of Mankato, Minnesota, and is committed to making Christian higher education affordable for all with generous financial aid packages available. At Bethany, you'll find stimulating academic programs, a friendly atmosphere, and opportunities to grow both in intellect and in your faith, all within the framework of a supportive Christian environment. For more information, visit us on the web at blc.edu.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. On this Wednesday afternoon, we're broadcasting from the Finding Our Voice Conference at St. Louis University. Our guest, Tim Gagelein, he is an 8-year veteran of the White House as a special assistant to the President George W. Bush, and author of the book Man in the Middle. We're talking about the relationship between the public square and federal legislation. Before the break, we were talking about what sounds like perhaps even very likely defunding of Planned Parenthood, at least in the long term. What would that actually mean in terms of the number of abortions? What kind of statement would it make?
Well, I think the statement has already been huge, and it will continue to get larger. You know, I have to tell you, I was really smitten by the fact that in the first go-round of the revealing of the first Planned Parenthood video, where you have a Planned Parenthood employee who's referencing, you know, the preservation of the baby's head, I thought it was remarkable that in the same week, not in America but in Germany, one of the last Nazis to actually be on trial for hundreds of thousands of deaths at Auschwitz, said, you know, he knew there was a problem, when he saw someone bash a baby's head against a wall. You know, I think as Americans, we understand intuitively that that what Planned Parenthood is doing morally is exactly the same sort of degenerate, odious nature as what we heard from across the seas. And to our everlasting infamy, 57 million abortions since 1973, Planned Parenthood is simply out of excuses. But they are not out of political support. The Democratic Party overwhelmingly favors Planned Parenthood because underneath the tentacles of Planned Parenthood are gigantic amounts of political cash. A very famous political spouse once said, follow the money. And that's what this is all about. In the way that slavery was incredibly lucrative for politicians in the 19th century, abortionists are very lucrative for politicians in the 21st century. There is a direct paradigm. This is what made the abolition of slavery in England with the great William Wilberforce and with the great Lincoln in America, this is what made it so tough. They had to battle not just politicians, they had to battle huge amounts of cash.
Well, this dawned on me the other day that, and I think it was sparked by something that a guest said about Planned Parenthood, it's not just the money. It is the money because they funnel a lot of money back into politics, but they also will run candidates against you. Is the Democratic Party and Republican pro-choice candidates, are they afraid of Planned Parenthood? Do they realize that Planned Parenthood may be a benefactor but also a bully?
No, they are afraid of a name that has been tarnished. But the Democratic Party is not just enthusiastic about abortion. They love abortion. They absolutely love it. You will remember very famously, it was rhetorically very clever because he was a rhetorically very clever guy. But Bill Clinton once said he wanted it to be safe, legal, and rare. What does that mean? The answer is that it's meaningless. It's like confetti to the wind. If you look, not by my opinion, but by the actual statistics of Planned Parenthood, which is, of course, Abortion Inc., when you look at the number of adoptions they do every calendar year over against the number of abortions, there is just simply no comparison. In other words, there is no propulsion within Planned Parenthood to make this rare. Their goal is the opposite because it's profitable.
We have learned today from the sixth video, insofar as I can glean the coverage of it in the early morning hours here, we have learned today that Planned Parenthood has not just been doing things that are arguably illegal, but also deeply unethical. They have been taking donations of the body parts of children aborted from women without their consent. They have been targeting women at the level of the clinic for donations, quote-unquote donations, based upon the needs of research groups that are buying these baby body parts there. What are your thoughts there, Tim?
I think it's rather amazing in the 21st century where we are drowning in television, we're drowning in screens, that we tend, Todd, to see every single medical or health procedure, but we never see abortions. Why is that? Well, we know the answer. And I think it's completely confirming of what you say. And this is the real power behind these videos. By the way, I think this is the best and most important journalism of 2015. And it seems to me that the group, which has done such a great job in investigating one of the largest nonprofits in the United States, so-called nonprofits in the United States, I think we should be thinking about giving them the Pulitzer Prize because they have gone into a billion-dollar industry. And the leader of abortion in America, which overwhelmingly is one of the major issues in American public policy, and they've exposed Planned Parenthood for exactly who they are. And may I say, all of those who have been critics of Planned Parenthood have been completely confirmed, as the pro-life movement has over all these years, that all the things that we've said about Planned Parenthood are absolutely the case.
What other legislative opportunities are presented to us? Staying on the issue of Planned Parenthood and abortion, what other legislative opportunities are presented to us with the release of these videos?
I think the biggest issue that no one is talking about, which is not legislation per se, but where the legislative process will have a gigantic influence, will actually happen in the next 2 years. Because on the last day of President Obama's administration, there will be four Supreme Court justices who will be 80 years of age or over. That's remarkable. So the next president probably will have at least 2 to 3 to 4 Supreme Court picks. In addition to that, Todd, the next president of the United States of America will probably nominate and see confirmed up to 200 district and appellate judges. So we're talking about an absolute sea change. And it seems to me that if we have a pro-life president, and if that pro-life president is absolutely committed to making no mistakes when it comes to who they put on the Supreme Court and who they put on the federal bench, it seems to me that not since the 1993 case of Casey, where we almost overturned Roe against Wade, we will never have had a better shot to overturn Roe than potentially in a new Supreme Court.
Well, I guess that raises the question, because the presumptive candidate on the Democratic side is Senator Hillary Clinton. And she comes with a lifetime of political experience. She comes with qualifications out of the State Department and out of the U.S. Senate and out of the White House as First Lady. One might argue, and I think people, it would be a fair argument to say that in terms of a woman qualified to be president right now, just in terms of experience, there are few, if any, that could rival her.
I beg to disagree.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that Hillary Clinton, in each and every one of those iterations, as First Lady, as United States Senator, as Secretary of State, I think she is charmless. I think she is humorless. And I have to tell you, I think that she is not a person of great achievement. I mean, if I were to ask the man on the street, right, tell me what Hillary Clinton's greatest achievement is, I'd feel very confident that neither Democrat nor Republican could say that. She has a celebrity status, but I just don't think that she's a person of achievement.
What would her election to the office of President of the United States mean?
It would mean that we would elect the first woman. But I have to tell you, I think that in the 21st century, I don't think that that is the most compelling reason to vote for Hillary Clinton or any woman or any man. I mean, I think that we are living in a time where the damage that has been done to our country, our culture, our civilization is so huge that I think that we're going to have to think bigger than, well, she's a woman, so we really ought to vote for her.
Would she continue unbroken the policies and the philosophy of President Barack Obama in terms of life, marriage, family?
Absolutely, yes. And in fact, it's very interesting that Barack Obama, was in opposition to homosexual marriage until he was for it. Hillary Clinton was in opposition to homosexual marriage until she was for it. There were even early statements in President Obama's career as a young state legislator, where it was easy to be confused about what his view happened to be of religious liberty. And, of course, Hillary Clinton, as Secretary of State over and over and over again, would always be very careful to say that it was about freedom of worship, but not freedom of religion and not conscience rights. So I think that there is absolutely a continuum between Barack Obama and a potential Hillary Clinton presidency, or Bernie Sanders, or whoever is on the Democrat side. And may I say, and I say this as a Christian, a conservative, and a Republican in that order, I don't think that I take any pause as a Republican. It is Republicans who have appointed Supreme Court justices who have made the biggest mistakes. A Republican appointed Earl Warren. He was a disaster. A Republican appointed William Brennan. He was a disaster. A Republican appointed Harry Blackmun, the author of Roe Against Wade. He was a disaster. A Republican appointed David Souter, Sandra Day O'Connor, Tony Kennedy. All three of those were disasters for all the things in public policy that we think are most important. So the fact that it's a Democrat or Republican, I think, is not irrelevant. But I just think that it has to be, is the person who we are electing of either party, is the person who we are elected serious when it comes to the questions of life, freedom, and marriage?
Finally, what should a future president, pro-life president, what should he seek first and foremost out of a possible 4 justices appointed to the Supreme Court?
It should be the following question. Will you execute the Madisonian view of the Constitution, which is the following, that unless the United States Constitution, which is remarkably clear in its language, will they make a commitment to being a constitutionalist? That's the question. If they believe in a living constitution, or that the constitution can always be reinterpreted given whatever era we're in or whatever fad happens to be big, that's the wrong person.
That sounds like a pretty good litmus test for a Supreme Court justice. Tim Gagelein is vice president for external relations for Focus on the Family based in Washington, D.C. He spent nearly 8 years at the White House as a special assistant to President George W. Bush, and he's author of the book The Man in the Middle. We'll have a link to it at our website, issuesetc.org. Tim, thank you very much.
All my pleasure. Be of good cheer.
When we come back, Sharif Girgis joins us. We'll talk about defending natural marriage.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
When you need a friend, you have a friend in Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, and friends among his people at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, Arnold, Missouri. At Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, we offer Christ-centered word and sacrament ministry, inspirational liturgical worship services, and faithful preaching and teaching. Sunday worship services are at 9 a.m. Sunday school and Bible class are at 10:30. We also have an excellent Christian preschool. We invite you to join us. Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, 2211 Tenbrook Road, Arnold, Missouri, 636-296-1292.
Do you have a hard time finding Christian greeting cards and gifts that aren't either sappy or theologically suspect? Ad Crucem offers the perfect combination of art and the truth of the Scriptures with beautiful and reverent greeting cards and gifts. Deliver the true comfort of the gospel, Christ crucified for sinners, to family and friends with Ad Crucem. ADCRUCEM.com. Confessing the faith through art and word. ADCRUCEM.com.